Welcome, everyone, to the Meddling Kids Podcast. We are doing things a little bit different today. I'm Julie Kinn, your regular old co-host, and...
I am Jess, your guest co-host for today.
Now, Jess, you have a really not Athens, Georgia accent. Where the heck are you from?
So I'm from New Zealand.
I've heard of that. Yes, yeah. That's an island. And on New Zealand, apparently they have Scooby-Doo.
They do have Scooby-Doo. It is something that we do know about. So I'm here to have a chat about the new episode.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about the first episode of season 2 of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Nowhere to Hide. But before we get into that, I have some stupid American questions for you. Is that okay?
That's absolutely fine.
Okay, so tell me in general... Sorry. As it's coming out of my mouth, I realize how idiotic I'm sounding, but I'm going to go for it anyway. So do you all have, in general, the same popular TV shows we have, or are your TV networks more limited? And I'm guessing things are different now. Maybe like 15 years ago, like what was the state of New Zealand TV?
We do have quite a few of the same popular shows. So a lot of our shows that we watched, especially like when I was a kid, mm-hmm. were from America, were Cartoon Network shows. So, and we didn't have a lot of our own shows being made. They were quite few and far between. Now there are more New Zealand shows being made, but there's still a lot of American shows showing up in our popular culture for sure.
So when we're just talking about random popular culture stuff, you totally get it. You get those connections and understand what we're talking about. You're not like Buffy who?
No, for the most part, we get all the popular TV shows. If it's a really obscure reference, like a smaller show that wasn't as popular, then we might not have gotten it here. But for the most part, we generally can... know what you're talking about, and we probably
got
the show
it. Okay,
here.
Thank you.
That's okay.
Stephen and I were really grateful that you agreed to fill in for him this week. Stephen is out solving some mysteries, trying to battle the Freds of the world. But because we know that Scooby-Doo plays an important part in your family, that you and your sons watch it quite a bit, right?
My son is absolutely obsessed with Scooby-Doo. And when I watched the episode that we're going to be talking about today, I watched it without him, and he got really mad at me because...
Oh my gosh.
Because he really wanted to watch it, so I have to watch it again a little bit later so that he can watch it with me. But yeah, the movies, the TV shows, he's just obsessed, which is... It's cool. It's a cool show to be obsessed with.
Yeah, there's definitely much worse things.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you got to see it twice so you could really solidify this heady content.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what Stephen and I normally do is I kind of give the rundown because Stephen usually is mostly paying attention, but not so much. So I'm going to just do that again mm-hmm. and come to you to weigh in on details. But if there are sections you are really keen to describe yourself, of course, I'm happy to yield the floor.
Awesome. Sounds really good.
Okay. Well, this episode, I don't know if you'd agree with this, Jess, but I think it's entirely an allegory about human subjects research and ethical complaints. So I think the very clever Scooby-Doo writers deliberately made this as a retort to the Tuskegee experiments and other massively horrific scientific research using human subjects design that were not appropriate and did not go through an IRB review. The end.
You've put a lot of thought into this.
Well, I did. Okay, so you know that I do a lot of research real life.
Yeah.
And just fun research on my friends and family, of course, because who wouldn't, put your kids in a Skinner box and all that. Okay, well, in this episode, there is some research, and I do not think it was approved. But anyway, okay, we start off with kind of a different theme song. Did you notice that?
I did.
Okay, so it's not just me. It sounded like pretty much the same theme song, but like with extra vocals. Like there was like a chorus singing it instead of one. I don't know. But most of the images are the same. Some are different in during the like the openings. That's always exciting. I was watching this on an airplane, by the way. So you know how like when you fly, you try to pretend you're all like professional and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we start off in a high rise, and in the high rise building is a fancy jewelry store. But oh no, a creepy green dude sneaks in through a window and like snatches this giant ruby necklace. It's kind of a pendant while laughing maniacally. And then he impressively climbs down a drain pipe. But he's like not sneaky about this at all.
No.
He's just kind of like laughing really loud, trying to get attention. And he laughs so loud that one of the police officers hears him, turns, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's the ghost of Hyde. What do you expect? Now, can I get your help like describing what the ghost of Hyde looks like, if you recall?
Yes. He's green. He's green,
yes,
and ugly, and he's got a hat and a trench coat? Is that what we call it?
Yeah, I think so.
So he kind of looks like he is up to no good with the hat and the trench coat. And then he's green, which is just strange. That's not what color people are. So
no, not usually.
Not unless they're very unwell.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, he should be laughing his way to the doctor.
He should. He should have been getting into an ambulance.
And he has a very prominent chin, as I recall.
Yes.
His face is oversized. Meanwhile, the kids are at the malt shop. More stupid American questions. So were malt shops a big deal in the 60s? When you were around in the 1950s and 60s?
Back in my day. When I first saw it, I thought malt like as in like malt whiskey. And I was like, what are they doing drinking? Aren't they supposed to be teenagers? I'm really confused. But then I realized it was like, like a milkshake or ice cream shop.
Yeah. Now, a malt and whiskey shop, that would make for a very different and very exciting episode. Maybe that's where Steven is right now. Okay,
possibly.
So while they're in the malt whiskey shop getting completely hammered, Hyde, the ghost of Hyde, gets into the back of the mystery machine. Oh, by the way, there was a kind of a weird thing in this episode. There was lots of silence, like where there wasn't anything. And then later there was a music overlay we'll get to. But I don't know. They were experimenting with some sound editing for this app. But okay. So back in the malt shop, the kids are eating double fudge sundaes, except for Shaggy because his has a pickle on top. And it looks like a pickled jalapeno, but I guess they didn't specify pickled cucumber. And they've just come from a magic show, and so Scooby wants to show off his own cool magic trick, which involves him stealing Shaggy's ice cream. And it's, like, legitly an awesome trick. Legitly is not a word, by the way, sorry.
I didn't know how he did that. I thought that was very impressive, and I'd like to know his tricks because
stealing an ice cream sundae,
that's quite a good trick to know.
Yeah. That can be our next thing that we all post videos of is our own ice cream tricks. Actually, that would be amazing. If any listener does post a video on our Scooby-Doo and Meddling Kids podcast discussion group, post a video of your own card trick or ice cream trick and we'll send you free stuff. That would be amazing. Okay, so after they eat all this ice cream, Fred's like, it's time to go home. And Jess, I don't know if you noticed this. To me, I think so far in the series, that's the first mention of home. Like, up till this point, they've just been kind of traveling caravan style. This is the first time they indicate they have a stable residence. So I was kind of excited.
That's true.
Do you think they all live together?
Maybe. Maybe it's like a frat house or something.
I could totally see that with like Shaggy being the party guy, Scooby being the house dog.
That would totally make sense and work. I think that we need to keep an eye on that and explore that further in the future episodes.
Oh, I love it. That's a great idea. Okay. So Shaggy wants to get home to watch the early late show on TV. And to you young folks out there, this is back in the day when TV just kind of ended at 11 o'clock at night. Like after 11 or 10:30, depending on what channel you were watching, there just wasn't any more TV for you. You know, you turn it on, you just see static or like a little black and white crosshairs or symbol or something. And he wants to see a show called I Was a Teenage Blob, which I really like that title.
Me too. Me too. Very relatable.
Debbie.
And now I'm a grown-up blob.
Grown-up blob, right? Have you ever seen the movie The Blob?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I'm actually really terrible at watching movies that aren't for kids since I had children. So.
Oh, no, I get it. Yeah. The Blob, I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but it's legit scary. There's some good scary points in there and some amazing effects that I'm sure nowadays would be pretty cheesy.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're talking about, Velma says she saw that movie. It was corny. The blob hung out in the back of cars and laughed. Oh no, there's a creepy thing in the back of your van, dudes. And Hyde starts to uncover himself. They're on a, that sounded like really sexual and I didn't mean it that way. I'm sorry. So sorry.
This show I've been is listening. G-rated, everybody. It's okay.
It is. It is clean. It is totally clean. Okay, they're on a creepy shortcut, of course.
I wrote that in my notes. Of course he's taking a creepy shortcut. Of course he is. This is Scooby-Doo.
Do you know any people who always do that, who are like, oh, I got a shortcut?
My husband does it all the time, and it takes twice as long to get home, so I am not a fan of the creepy shortcut.
Ditto. Ditto for me. Once when I was a kid, I don't know what, I must have just seen a scary movie or something. My dad took a shortcut, and for a while, I was convinced he was kidnapping me, which, like, you know, he was my dad, and I don't know, but I was like, I don't know where we are. This isn't the way home. And, like, I started to freak out. Anyway, that says more about me than him. Okay, so Scooby sees the blanket in the back and grabs it and realizes there's a green ghost man underneath and says, excuse me? And then he's scared because then after he says, excuse me, he realizes, oh, wait, that dude's not supposed to be in our van. And he tries to pantomime to Shaggy what's back there. And I'm just thinking, come on, Scooby, this is where you bark. Like, dogs, when they see strange ghost men in the back of vans, start barking.
I was thinking the exact same thing, and I was thinking, he can form some words approximately. This is where you try and say the word monster in the back of the car.
Right.
You don't just mime to people when they're all looking at the road. I was going, Scooby, what are you trying to actually achieve here?
Yeah, what was his desired outcome? That's a good question. Do you have dogs?
I don't. I am dog obsessed, but dogless.
No wonder you love this show then. You like get your dog fill of it.
I do.
One of my dogs is really scared, so if he saw a strange man under a blanket, he would just pee all over the place. But oh well.
Well, that's one way of dealing with it.
Yeah, but that would still be communicating something to me. So, you know, I know when my dog pees all over the place, something scary is happening. Okay, so Hyde stands up, and he must be really short, I'm thinking, because vans aren't that tall. And he laughs really loudly, of course. So clearly he wasn't trying to stay hidden. And the kids all shout in unison. Do you remember what they shout?
Did they shout monster? I can't remember.
No, they shout a ghost.
Oh, a ghost.
As always, I'm like, why? Why do you always think it's a ghost, no, Scooby Gang?
That's right, because they did, and I remember thinking, like, how do you know? You don't know it's a ghost yet, and it looks like a monster to me.
Right. It's green and corporeal, and you can't see through it, and I don't know. These Scoobs, they love their ghosts.
They do.
Maybe it's just their wishful thinking. Like, donuts. I don't know. Okay, so they all run out of the van as fast as they can. And this is where Hyde, I'm just still like, what was his motivation? Because he doesn't steal their van and drive off. Instead, he runs down the road, still carrying the ruby necklace, not even like in his pocket. And I'm thinking it's probably on a gold chain, which is really delicate. Like, dude, put it in your pocket and then run because you don't want that thing all swinging around. But he runs into a marsh and Velma informs everyone that's the ghost of Mr. Hyde. And Daphne fills in the listeners. Oh, that creepy jewel thief that's been scaring everybody in town. I don't know. This town. Fred is like so excited that there was an actual real life criminal, possibly a ghost, in his van. He is so excited. So then they all go to the police, like every citizen should, and fill out police reports, and the episode is over.
Alternatively,
that's not at all what happened.
Alternatively, Hyde runs into the spookiest looking house in the world.
Yeah, why is it so spooky, do you think?
I think any old, because it looks really old, it looks a little bit run down, it looks dark.
Yeah, like Victorian
and
era.
Very Victorian, very haunted. And I just wrote, of course he went into the spooky house, because that is obviously the only way this episode is going to go, really.
Right. Whereas, like, actual serial killers and jewel thieves probably have just, like, good, nice, run-of-the-mill homes, you know,
they
and, like,
just
little
go
prefab
back to,
communities.
They just go back to their apartment.
Yeah.
Their little, their one- or two-bedroom modest apartment, not a giant, spooky Victorian mansion.
There could be a torture chamber in the basement, but,
well, yeah,
you know, no one would know from the outside.
Exactly.
You want to fit in. So Shaggy is so scared that he's biting Scooby's nails. The kids see the scary guy go into a house, and then they break in. Well, they try to, actually. They don't successfully break in and break the law, because they actually fall through a trapdoor into the basement. And that will teach them, Jess. I'm sure they will never break into a house again.
Yeah, this is actually the end of all Scooby-Doo, because they learned their lesson.
Right, exactly. Well, they're really lucky that they didn't get any traumatic brain injuries, because they land right in the middle of a mattress in the middle of, and now this is a direct quote, a mad scientist type laboratory. And oh my gosh, I want a mad scientist type laboratory. Have you ever worked in a lab setting?
No, I haven't. I have not.
I have, but I do social science, so it's all boring and safe, and there's no beakers. It's just, like, humans and surveys and computers, but this place looks amazing.
It does. It looks like every sort of, like, I don't know, I quite like science and experimenting and putting things together, and
yeah.
Looks like everybody's dream place to just go and make some potions and some concoctions.
Yeah. Do you and your son ever, like, make pretend potions?
No, he's really, really not into any of that. It's so upsetting. I'm like, let's mix stuff together and see what happens. He goes,
yeah,
nah.
Exactly. Well, okay, so maybe he could take a note from my daughter, because what she does is she creates potions to kill Hitler. She's really obsessed with Hitler and talks about him all the time and hates him, which is good. She's obsessed with him in, like, not hero worship way, but she talks about him constantly. And she'll, like, go into, like, she'll take peppercorns and dirt and snow and dried leaves and some sticks and leftover mashed potatoes and, like, stir it all up and see what happens, and says it's a potion to kill Hitler.
She is an amazing kid. So, listeners, Julie and I were sending videos of our kids back and forth last night, and I was just watching her videos. I'm like, she is so cool. And my
kids are awesome. And your son too.
Your son was funny as well. My son was watching them going, can they be our new friends? I'm like, absolutely, buddy. Yeah. We will have them.
My kids were obsessed with his accent, by the way. They're very excited about that. And they just thought he was adorable.
Aww.
Okay, so anyway, especially when he was describing Scooby-Doo villains, that was very popular. Okay. So the door opens to the mad scientist laboratory, and just like Professor Utonium from the Powerpuff Girls walks right in. Just this 1950s-ish kind of professor in a lab coat scientist dude. And he's like, what are you kids doing here?
I put down that because Shaggy and Scooby were hiding like under a blanket.
Yeah.
And the other three were kind of standing behind a pillar, and they all get spotted right away. And I'm just like, you guys would be so bad at hide and seek.
I mean, the dog, I get it. Very large dogs sometimes do that. Like, as long as their eyes are hidden, they think their rump is out.
Yeah.
But Yeah. I mean, Fred, you're a known serial killer. You should know how to hide.
Absolutely. Like, he is really not on his game today.
Not at all. But the dude, the Professor Utonium dude, is holding a ruby. And Daphne says, "Would you believe we're looking for a ghost?" And then we get our commercial break.
Murder Road Trip is a true crime podcast where I, your host, Haley, discuss murder cases in my car, aka the Mobile Beats Lab. Join me and my partner in crime, H.H. Gnomes, on the road. There will be games, mixtapes, and snacks as I make the research journey to murder scenes around the world. Make sure to check your back seat, and I'll see you at the next rest stop.
So we come back from commercial break, and we hear the rest of the sentence. And that's how we ended in your lab, Mr. Jekyll. I don't know, maybe I should have picked up on that immediately. Have you ever read Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
I haven't read it, but it's sort of, that's sort of one of those stories that you kind of know about. And I was kind of hoping they would go in that direction, because I'm like, that'd be like just obvious enough to work, I think.
I haven't read it either. I love classics. That's not one that I've read. So I know enough about it to be dangerous, I guess. Like,
yeah,
some guy drinks a potion and then once in a while turns into a bad guy, but the other times he's a really nice scientist. Are there any other details you can think of that we listeners need to know?
That's more or less it. And that one personality is just completely oblivious to the other personality.
Oh,
it's like, well, not completely oblivious, but knows that something's not right and knows that probably they're responsible, but has no memory and doesn't really understand why it's all happening.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so it's clear Dr. Jekyll may actually have a loose grip on sanity because he thinks he might be the ghost because his great-grandfather was the first Dr. Jekyll of the book. He thinks that his grandfather turned into Mr. Hyde from the book, and then somehow Mr. Hyde's ghost is still there. It doesn't really make a lot of sense, but, you know, it's a kid's show.
It's a cartoon. They've got so much creative license. They just went, that'll do.
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
So for the past 3 years, he's been working on this vitamin that you only need to take once in your life. So that's pretty cool. I'm not a big believer in vitamins, but if I only had to take it once, sure, I'd do it.
Yeah.
And he finally perfected it, and he, like, slurped it down to test it. So here comes our first human experiment without an IRB of just this dude being like, okay, here it is, glub, 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 all by himself. Now, I will tell you, Jess, researchers do actually do this somewhat. So all the researchers I know who actually make edible things or have like nutrition shakes that someone needs to take as part of a study or that has, I don't know, methamphetamines in it or whatever for like drug studies, they will actually try it themselves because most of the people I know who do this kind of research don't want to have their test subjects take something if they're not willing to do it their own self. But they never just do it all by themselves in a dark laboratory. You know, it's like in a controlled setting. It's not IRB approved and it's certainly not like something they should be doing on paper, but still it's kind of like a moral thing. Like, I'm not going to ask 300 randomly picked participants to try this new medication if I'm not going to do it too. It turns out he should have been being observed because he fell asleep or got knocked out and he was woken by Helga, who found him on the floor.
I just thought it was really interesting that 4 teenagers and a dog fell into his basement and the first thing he does is tell them about his problems and not ask why on earth they're there.
Oh, yeah.
I found that really interesting, and I thought, like, we're just going to skate right past the fact that there's strangers now in your house. You have a booby trap door for them to fall into, and they're just here to listen to your problems. I just thought that was quite interesting.
Maybe he was trying to impress Daphne?
Well, this is always a possibility.
That's a good point, though. I mean, maybe they're just such great listeners. He's just like, I've been waiting and waiting to tell someone this story. Because Helga's not, like, really warm.
No, she's not the nurturing type, I don't think, our Helga.
Would you like to describe Helga for the listeners, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot?
No, that's fine. So Helga is the housekeeper, and she is very tall when she stands next to Scooby and Shaggy. She's very tall. She's got sort of like a blonde, short bob haircut. She actually looks quite masculine, I think.
Very much so.
Yes. And she is the housekeeper that is around, obviously, to help Dr. Oh, hold on. Is it Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde? Dr. Jekyll with all his household things. So that would make sense that she would be the first person to find him after he's taken this potion and woken up.
Yeah, and she's wearing like a maid's uniform, but it's kind of like baby blue. And with her very light blonde bob, it just looks extremely like mismatched very deliberately to almost make her look even more mannish. And like, if we hadn't heard her voice, I would have definitely thought not a cisgendered individual, but she also has this extremely feminine voice. And we get the sense that she just is built like a softball player or an Olympic swimmer. She is just really top heavy with muscle and brawn.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought that the uniform looked quite silly on her because it kind of, I just don't know, it just didn't fit anything else. And it looked like it was on purpose far too small.
Yeah, just something childlike. And I don't know, it was definitely an interesting look. I'll post some screen caps online on social media later. She had woken him up from his stupor, I guess, and he had fresh mud on his shoes. And then the same thing happened this very evening. But this time when he woke, he found this ruby in his pocket. So now he believes he's the ghost of Hyde. So he must not be the thief, because if he was, he wouldn't just be like, hey, found this random stolen ruby. But then if he's not the thief, why would the thief give him the ruby to hold? It's not making a lot of sense here if the thief's goal is to take that ruby and sell it for actual money. Unless it was just the thrill was the goal. Or framing Hyde. Maybe we need to look at who would inherit this house if he gets arrested and hanged or something. Do they hang people for stealing rubies? That's not a thing. Sorry.
Probably not this century, no.
Not this century, no. No. You're right. But in previous
I quite liked it how Scooby-Doo was all of a sudden a gem expert, and he pulls out his loop and checks the gem and confirms that that is indeed there is a real ruby. And I'm going, how many dogs have got that level of training? That was quite interesting.
He's an incredible dog. Good boy, amazing. Scooby.
Well done, yay, Scooby-Doo.
Well done. So Velma looks at this dude's shoes, and yeah, they're muddy, but they're dried mud, so he couldn't have been in the swamp this evening. And so it's like, okay, were you lying then? Are you lying now, dude? And Fred says, there's something strange here. And I'm like, yeah, of course there's something strange. This is just like the episode of the cat creature from, I think, maybe next season, which is my very, very favorite Scooby-Doo of all times. So just listeners, when we get back to the cat creature episode, which I think the formal name is Make a Beeline Away from That Feline, we'll be coming back, because it's all about this cat creature who gaslights this poor old lady into thinking she's the cat creature. Spoiler alert. Anyway, we'll come back. Okay, so the kids go searching for clues, and Scooby and Shaggy are in the attic, and it's really, really cobwebby and stuff, and Scooby plays a spider web as though it's a harp, and then a bunch of bats fly out of a trunk, and there's lots of funny clothes and costumes, and anytime Scooby gets a hold of costumes, you know something fun's going to happen. So Scooby walks over to a wardrobe, and we know there's going to be a ghost in there, right? Like, because it's all spooky. He is really scared of whatever he sees inside, but it turns out it's just a mirror of him. So just kind of your typical Scooby-Doo antics up here, but like nothing spooky yet. Until a shadow scares them and they try to leave through a door. But here comes one of those like absurdist gags where it's not something that could actually happen in real life. Every time Scooby opens a door, there's another smaller door behind it, until the very last door is a door to a mouse hole, and the mouse shakes his little paw angrily at Scooby.
I love that bit so much. It's just so classic 70s cartoon. Yes.
Agreed. I know.
It's, yeah, I just really loved it. And I had to pause because I was having a really big giggle about it. And the mouse looks so angry.
Yeah, he's like shaking his paw like, hey, dog, how dare you open the door to my mouse hut? Yep. Oh, I love this show. Okay, it turns out the shadow was just Helga. And I was wishing here that she had a really awesome accent, but she doesn't. It's just like a high-pitched female American voice.
I am so surprised. I was expecting, and I don't know why, but I was expecting like a like an Eastern European German yeah. accent or something. I don't know why, but that's what I was expecting. And yeah, it was just a normal American accent. I was going, oh, okay, well, we'll just leave it at that then.
I mean, I guess, okay, to be fair, if she was like, yeah, it's me, Helga, then we'd be like, okay, ethnocentrism, what's wrong with Western and Eastern Europeans? And,
yeah.
And, you know, so kind of darned if you do, darned if you don't. We would have been making fun of them for that if they had done it. But still, it seems like a missed opportunity, I'll say.
It does.
She's mad at the mess that they've made, and she starts dusting as they sneeze their way out. And the other kids are in the living room. Fred finds a newspaper clipping half burnt in the fireplace advertising a trapeze artist, Helga the Great. And at this point, I'm like, oh, I really hope she's the villain, because I love when villains are female.
They don't make female villains... Oh, sorry, I just dropped something. They don't make female villains nearly often enough. I agree.
Especially back in those days. I think, I'm Absolutely. Guessing in the modern Scooby-Doo, they're about half and half, but I haven't watched them yet, so I don't know.
Oh, I'll let you find out.
Yeah. Shaggy and Scooby are looking around the library, and Shaggy removes a book called 101 Ghosts and Ghouls, and we see Hyde's face peek out from the space left from that book, and he laughs really loud, so... you know, he's like trying to get their attention. I don't know why he was hiding. But Jess, did you happen to notice what some of the other books were? I wrote them all down for you in case.
No, I didn't. Oh, I don't pay attention to those little details. What were they?
Okay, they were hilarious. Okay, so one was just called Chemistry. One was called Vipers. One was called Dracula Manual. So, like, I guess how to be Dracula? I don't know. One was called History of Makeup, and the last was Origin of the Species. So, I don't know if this is supposed to be, like, a treatise on Darwinism as well, but, like, you could definitely take it that way. Anyway, I thought it was hilarious. So, they run away, and the bookshelf swings open, and they get chased by Hyde, who's still laughing. And so, then we get an awesome chase sequence because Scooby and Shaggy hide behind a TV. And then, do you want to describe this? I don't want to, like, steal all the good bits and gags.
I love this part. It was so funny. So they hide in the TV, and then all of a sudden the costumes that were in the attic are with them. And they're in the TV putting on costumes and, like, acting back and forth these different scenarios. And I think they do one or two different costume changes before they reach out the TV and poke the ghost.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you doing that? He's gonna know that you're not a TV anymore.
Oh my gosh, he just can't resist poking and getting his goat. I have in all caps in my notes, I love this. Like, this is the classic stuff that just makes me love this show so much more than anything. Okay, so then they run away, and then all the kids reunite, but they Shaggy and Scooby accidentally knock themselves and Velma into a laundry chute. One of my friends, he has a real-life laundry chute in his house, and there are children living in this house with them, his kids, and they've never messed with the laundry chute, to which I'm, like, completely shocked. Have you ever lived in a house with a laundry chute, and did you get into big antics with it?
I have not. So houses here, from watching House Hunters, which I do a lot of, I think are significantly smaller than houses in America. So... I've never even seen a laundry chute in real life. So in my notes it says, are they actually big enough for dogs and people to fit down?
You know, you know what? They are, actually.
Are they? That's
I mean, but like with a squeeze, like Shaggy would not in the way that this one worked, but like enough. Okay, Shaggy definitely could get in there because we know he's real thin. Velma with some scooching around. Scooby, I don't know. But I'm telling you, if my brothers and I had had one of these, we would have tested it for sure.
Oh, I can imagine the exact same thing. If I'd had one as a kid, I would have been like, that looks like just a really big fun slide. And as long as there's something soft at the bottom, I'm good to go.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I wish. Okay. Well, I'm definitely never building one in any of my houses because my children take after me and not my much, much smarter partner. Okay. So the kids reunite again. Velma wants to search Helga's room. And which, first of all, kids, don't go into other people's rooms, especially the hired help. So disrespectful. They already have to be, like, subservient and stuff. Anyway, for the live-in housekeeper, though, her room is fabulous. She's got this four-poster king-size bed and, like, enough room for a little sitting area in her room. Shaggy's hanging out outside eating fruit from a fruit bowl, so we know something's going to happen out there. But Fred and Daphne are totally invading her personal space, going under her mattress to look for stuff. And there they find phosphorus paint and a bottle of pills, which Fred immediately recognizes as knockout drugs.
How do you know that just from like a little look at the bottle? This is what these are for. They're for knocking people out. Really, Fred? How do you know that? Is it because you're a serial killer?
It's not good. No matter how he knew that it was roofies or whatever, it's not great. There's really no good answer there, Fred. Anyway, Scooby is peeling a banana, and I'm thinking that banana is going to be like a Chekhov gun when, you know, someone needs to slip on that peel by the end of the episode, which we only had like 7 minutes and 46 seconds left at this point. So I'm like, that peel must be slipped on. But I was totally wrong because he throws away the banana and eats the peel itself.
Which is
just a little gag.
That is so weird. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, this is gonna end classically. And it didn't.
It didn't. Well, it showed us wrong, I guess. I mean, they're only in the second season of this series. It goes on and on in multiple ways for decades. So what are they going to do next? So Shaggy runs into Helga's room to let everyone know he found something interesting in the fruit bowl. But as he's about to describe it, the ghost of Hyde White nabs him. And the kids try to find him, but he's vanished. And so we'll take another commercial break. And this time I want to talk about, for our commercial break, the Washington Center in Olympia, Washington, the Washington Center for the Performing Arts here in Olympia, Washington, where I work and live. I don't know what I'm talking. I'm sorry, Jess. Let me try that one more time.
It's okay. You're right.
So the Washington Center for the Performing Arts here in Olympia, Washington, in the Seattle area, South Sound, Puget Sound area, is bringing in Brian Reed. He was the executive producer for Serial and S-Town. Oh my gosh, I am messing all this up. I'm just going to record this later when I have the text in front of me because I was trying to remember it.
That's all good. It sounds it's going to be a really good ad, though. Like, I want to come to this. What's happening?
Yeah. Okay. Let me try it one more time, just real quick. So the Washington Center for the Performing Arts here in Olympia, Washington, where I live in the South Puget Sound near Seattle, is bringing Brian Reed to town. And he was the producer for S-Town. And he was also one of the producers for Serial and This American Life. But he was like the dude in S-Town. And the show's going to be all about making S-Town and kind of a peek behind the curtain with all sorts of outtakes and how they did it. And I think all of us podcasters are going to learn a ton from it. But it also should be really fascinating look at this story because they did like hundreds of hours of audio and had to cut it down to a 7 or 8 part series. Did you listen to S-Town yet?
I did. I listened to it like the second it came out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I had to listen to it immediately because, well, you and me, we have so many podcaster friends. You knew they were going to be commenting on it on social media. So yeah. It's like we had to binge it immediately before anyone could spoil it for us. It was incredible. And not just as a podcast, but as a storytelling medium in general. So you can get tickets for this still. It's in February. But if you go to washingtoncenter.org, you can buy tickets there and be sure to let them know we sent you.
February, that's enough time for me to buy a plane ticket and come over, I'm sure.
Yes, it is! I'll buy your tickets to the Smart and Read show if you do that. Okay, so let's... Oh, I've got in my notes, describe your daughter's potions, because as we come back from commercial break, we see horrifying, more not IRB-approved research. And I know it's not IRB-approved because there were no consent forms anywhere near here. Shaggy is strapped to a gurney and Hyde is delightedly mixing potions with lots and lots of laughter. So maybe you could just have your son pretend he's Dr. Hyde or Mr. Hyde. So Shaggy asks, what are you going to do with me? And Hyde shows him a picture of a frog. So now I'm convinced that Hyde is Helga, because why else wouldn't he be speaking? You know, Helga has such a high-pitched voice. Also, this is the second time there's been a frog turning experiment, because in the mummy episode from last season, Scooby accidentally, his head gets turned into a frog head when he drinks a chemical. Anyway, Scooby runs in and tries to save Shaggy. And again, I'm like, bark, Scooby, or pee threateningly like Scout would. But we have a big chase scene while rock music plays.
I love the chase scene music. I thought it was really cool.
Did you? Oh my gosh. Can you describe it for us? I've got the lyrics here.
I just remember thinking it was really cool. I'm not good with details.
Okay. No, that's okay. I'm sorry. I keep putting you on the spot. Let me find the lyrics. I think it's hilarious that you think it was cool, because I thought it was the weirdest thing. I mean, it was cool in a what the heck is going on way.
I thought it was kind of cool in a I wasn't expecting that to be the chase music, but I can get this. Yeah.
It was kind of like, I don't remember the exact tune, but it was kind of like, la 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 la. Like, you could imagine a music video for it from the 60s with, like, faded backgrounds and people running towards each other in fields of daisies.
Yeah.
And this is during a chase scene. And some of the lyrics are, I took a cup full of sunshine, added a touch of the rainbow, sprinkled some happiness around it, and a little bit from a song I know. One smile and a whole lot of lovin' is my recipe. All that couldn't make up my baby, and what my baby means to me. Meanwhile, the scientist is falling on the gurney and getting shoved downstairs, and there's electricity and potions. But sing about my baby. It was bizarre, and I loved it.
It was so random.
Yeah, it was pretty random. Steven said there's a different song in every episode this season, so I can't wait to see what's next. And like, what did these artists have to do to be the one musician? Anyway, there's lots of antics involving the gurney and lots of crashing downstairs and into closets. And then Scooby and Shaggy run out the back door and start paddling away on a lump in the water that turns out to be an alligator, which tells me we're now in Florida, which is the worst of the United States.
I just had written, why is there an alligator? Why do we, like, it was just so random that, of course, there's an alligator there. Why am I asking questions? Of course there is. It's Scooby-Doo.
It's creepy. It's like more risky stuff. But Shaggy, fortunately, is brilliant. He uses the paddle sticks as stilts. And so Scooby is riding Shaggy's back, and then he empties some Scooby snacks into like Shaggy's extended like reptilian mouth. And then they run away as fast as they can through a wall back into the house so the team can reunite. Oh my gosh, I'm on the last page of my notes. Are we really this close to the end? How are we going to do that? Okay, so when they fall inside, Scooby gives Shaggy the sweetest kiss. Do you remember this little smooch? First he licks his face and then he goes right in for a kiss. It was adorable.
It was very cute.
Yes. And Shaggy shows everyone the amazing thing he'd found in the fruit bowl, which I'd completely forgotten about.
Me too.
Yeah. I'm like, what? You found this weird? Oh, right.
And where has he hid them the whole time? Like, does he have
his
pockets?
Pants.
Does he have... Okay. That's okay. I just thought they might have been too big to go in pockets, but it's the magic of television.
Yep, definitely in his pants somewhere. Yep.
It's a G-rated show, people. Julie's saying in his pants, but it's very innocent.
Right, because I'm in America. Pants here means trousers. I wasn't thinking like his Y-fronts, but, you know, that's also possible because they do come with pockets. Okay, Shaggy shows everyone the suction cups, and Velma says they know who the phony is, and Shaggy and Scooby are like, we do? And so they plan a trap. This trap is not as sophisticated as some of their other traps. It basically is Shaggy and Scooby taunting the ghost to get him to chase them. And so they start singing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, except they make it for He's an Ugly Bad Fellow. And that enrages him because how dare you? Such sass. And he chases them, and then the kids all dress up like the ghost to scare him into thinking there's a real ghost.
I just got on my notes. I'm like, why are there so many ghosts? I was so confused when I was watching. I was like, where have all the ghosts come from? And then I clicked, but it took me a little minute. So I can see why they thought that might have worked.
It would have worked on you.
It would have worked on me completely. This is why I can't be a bad guy.
Right. Well, and then he falls into his own trap door, and they wrap him into a mattress, which is really dangerous, by the way. And they're all prepared to see Helga under the mask, but twist! Dr. Jekyll was the bad guy the whole time. Oh my gosh. It was all a ruse within weirdness. And of course, the sheriff comes for the denouement. Hyde had framed Helga and planted all these clues just in case some teenagers happened to follow him back to his house after he stowed away in their van.
He had so much forethought. It was amazing.
It's incredible. He should have put a little bit more forethought into not laughing really, really loudly and wearing such an obvious disguise when stealing rubies and things. The suction cups were the real clue, apparently, because Helga wouldn't have needed those because with her superhuman abilities from being a circus performer, she could have just climbed right in. He needed those suction cups.
I completely missed why the suction cups would make sense. When they were going, it's so obvious. Why
it's obvious,
he would need
yes.
the suction cups. I'm going, is it? Is it obvious? okay. Yep, it's obvious.
Well, Scooby shows off how to use the suction cups by hanging from the ceiling with his tail, which is very impressive. What would you do if you had those suction cups?
I'm terrified of heights, so I probably wouldn't go very far. It might be good for checking the smoke alarms or changing the light bulb, though.
That's what I was thinking, too. Changing light bulbs. Yep. For sure. Oh, the smoke alarms. Yes. That's a good one.
I can never reach those. That would be very, very handy.
Yes, and especially like when you can't get the battery in quite right and it's beeping in your ear. Ugh, that's the worst. Were there any important details I missed? I had tons of notes this time around.
No, you hit everything. I'm going through what I wrote down and pretty much we had all the exact same stuff. And I'm really glad that the suction cups weren't completely obvious to everybody else either, because I was thinking, I could not be part of this team. They would kick me off.
Well, I guess I still don't get why he needed to dress like a ghost in general. I mean, so clearly his desired outcome was steal stuff, I'm guessing. Either that or just the thrill seeking. And maybe Helga was in on it the whole time because, I mean, she could presumably have been his partner and not just his maid. She did have a nice bedroom.
And also, because when they first met him, the mud on his shoes was dry. So it couldn't have been him out in the marsh that night. So maybe there were two ghosts and it was all just a big, big elaborate ruse.
But, Jess, you do get that it was him in the marsh, right?
Was it?
Yeah, because he's the bad guy.
But maybe Helga was there as well. Maybe they were.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell if you were messing with me. Like,
I'm getting very, very into my Scooby-Doo mystery solving now.
Oh, right. No, okay. I'm sorry. It took me a minute to catch up with you. You're right. The mud was dried, so he couldn't have been the bad guy in the swamp unless he had changed his regular muddy shoes from just being in the swamp into dried muddy shoes. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. Okay, this episode, maybe the next episode, which is, let's see, I wrote it down, the mystery mask mix-up. I thought that one might be about Mexican wrestling, which I'm pretty excited about, but maybe that's actually a part two of this one and they'll continue because I think there's still lots of mysteries here. And yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing the theories from our listeners because we have some very creative listeners. If you have theories or any meddling questions or you just want to chat to us about the Scooby-Doo show, please email us at meddlingkidspod@gmail.com, and you can tweet at us at meddlingkidspod or join us on Facebook. We have a fabulous discussion group. Just search for the Meddling Kids podcast and Scooby-Doo discussion group, and please post videos of your card tricks and ice cream tricks.
Absolutely. I'd like to learn the ice cream trick, so if anybody knows how to do it, I am very interested.
I would like to learn any ice cream trick. I think that could be a whole new avenue for, like, sleight of hand magicians. Sleight of tongue magicians. Oh, that sounds worse. Okay. Thank you so much for joining the Meddling Kids podcast. And thank you to Dave Sesté for the use of the song Night Surfing as our theme music. And be sure to check out Steven's show, Is This Adulting? My show, the Station Wagon podcast I do with my brother. And can you tell us about your show, Jess?
Sure. So you can find me about twice a month on the Murder Road Trip podcast. So you can find Murder Road Trip on any podcast app, or there's a page and a discussion group on Facebook. Just search Murder Road Trip podcast and it'll come up.
Is it about kids who go on road trips in a van and solve murders?
It's the other side of the Murder Road Trip. It's going to getting, so my co-host Haley and I get into her car and we drive to murder scenes. Whoa. And we tell you about the murders that happened there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is awesome. Okay, fantastic. Well, we'll be back next time with Mystery Mask Mix-Up, which, again, possibly Mexican wrestling, possibly more on Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You can hear more of Jess' Murder Road Trip. Gosh, I'm an idiot. I needed to write it down. But also, please let us know what you thought about our host substitution here. It's going to be a tough act for Steven to follow, poor guy. And I hope you'll come back and join us again because it's super fun having you along for the ride.
Anytime.
I also wanted to thank a couple people who left us iTunes reviews. Omnipixie said that we are a pure delight. Wow, thank you. And I'll just call this person a she, hope you don't mind. She says she learned of Meddling Kids right about the same time she rediscovered this favorite childhood TV show with her four-year-old, and that it's really fun hearing about the classic episodes. Thank you so much. 350GT said Shaggy would listen and gave us 5 stars and wanted to congratulate everyone for choosing this awesome podcast. Thank you so much, everyone. Leaving us iTunes reviews helps other people find our show, so thanks. I know it's hard to figure out sometimes how to use that app, but I really appreciate it. Anything else you would like to leave our listeners with?
No, I don't think so.
Allow me to put you on the spot in multiple ways. Well, if you're wondering where Steven is right now, he's watching you. He's watching you and capturing every movement to make sure that we don't get away with anything, because you would have if it weren't for us meddling kids. I don't know, was that creepy enough? That Steven does it way creepier and much, much, much longer. Wow. Oh. He's a tough act to follow. I shouldn't even have tried. What was I thinking there? Oh, well. Everyone have a great couple of weeks. Get in touch with us and we'll talk to you all soon. And thank you so much, Jess.
Thank you.